Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40 to the end of the chapter. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Hear the word of the Lord. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word, your word made flesh, and your word that comes to us in the Holy Scriptures. Lord, I pray that in these next few moments you would silence our agendas, that you would banish our assumptions, that you would do away with our casual detachment, and let the inspired writer of Mark confound our expectations and penetrate the corners of our hearts with this word. We know that you can, and we pray that you will, with great anticipation, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. You remember last week, if you were with us, Jesus left Capernaum because the crowds were becoming too much to bear. The stories of his mighty deeds and acts of power, his healings, his exorcisms, were spreading through the countryside. His disciples wanted them to capitalize on that. Jesus says, "You're missing the point. That's not what I've primarily come to do." And he said to them in verse 38, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues. That was his MO. He would go to the towns, he would enter the synagogues on Sabbath worship, and he would preach the scriptures and casting out demons. So he's preaching the gospel of God. He's still demonstrating his astonishing authority to support his claim that he is the Son of God, the Son of Man, that the scriptures are fulfilled in him. And as a picture of his love and a picture of his primary mission to come and to bring in the outcast, to bring in the lonely, to bring in the broken, to bring in the hopeless, to bring in the rejected, I think this story this morning of Jesus cleansing a leper is perhaps the most moving account in all of Mark's gospel. Leprosy in the ancient world was a horrible diagnosis. We know that leprosy in the ancient world and in the Old and New Testament scriptures really was a broad heading for a whole category of numerous skin disorders. Physicians today estimate up to 70, perhaps, distinct skin disorders that we are aware of today that they weren't in the ancient world would fall under this heading of leprosy. And of course, one of the worst, perhaps the worst, would be what we know today as Hansen's disease, which is a disease that works by destroying the nerves, and it kills the feeling and sensations of your extremities first, and then it works its way in, and as you lose the ability to feel and to perceive pain, you do harm to yourself. And fingers turn into nubs, and toes wear away, and noses and ears. Leviticus 13 and 14 describes the heartbreaking result, according to the law of God, of the fate of those that have contracted leprosy. If you woke up one morning and you noticed a strange spot on your skin, you would immediately be filled with terror in the pit of your stomach, because that would mean the next step, you would have to go and visit the priest, He would make a determination according to the outline in Scripture if it was leprosy or not. They didn't know if it was contagious, and with a whole host of skin diseases, many of them are. But they couldn't take chances. And this was the word of God, too, in terms of the ceremonial law. If it was leprosy, if the priest determined it to be leprosy, not only did you have a seriously transforming disease that would wreak havoc on your appearances and your body as time passed and disfigure you to the point of not being recognizable, and eventually to a premature death in most cases, but perhaps even worse than that, it meant that you were deemed to be unclean. And to be deemed unclean under the Old Testament Mosaic law meant you were no longer allowed inside the walls of a city. You're an outcast. No more family, no more friends, condemned to living a life alone. You would be separated from your children, your church, your fellowship. In fact, you would have no meaningful human contact. Lepers lived in huts outside of the village. The Old Testament law required that they covered their mouths in such a way that people could see them from quite a distance and know instantly, that's a leper. Steer clear. There was even a law that you could not come within 50 feet of another human being. 50 feet. That includes your family. That includes your children, your spouse. And if you saw someone approaching, you were required by law to call out, unclean, unclean, so that they would know to steer clear of you. Can you imagine that? Think of every time you went to the grocery store or to the classroom, to the ball game, having to yell out, unclean, unclean. Leprosy meant you would be the ultimate pariah in the ancient world. And in Mark's passage, we have a man who was examined by a priest. He was determined to be a leper. He was determined to be unclean. If he had a wife, he left her. If he had children, he left them. Left his home, left his church. He lived as a homeless man outside of the city wall, isolated from all human contact, meaningful human contact, for who knows how long. There's a parallel passage in Luke 5. And remember, Luke's a physician. Luke says in Luke 5 that the man was full of leprosy. The idea being that he was in the advanced stages. The disease had run its full course. So he is a wreck, physically speaking, mutilated from head to toe. He's rotting. He's stinking. He's carrying all the weight of this debilitating physical malady. All of the weight of the disease and its ravages on the body. But perhaps even worse, he's carrying all of the weight of exclusion. Of one who is unclean and one who is hopeless. But one day, he heard about Jesus. Remember, the countryside is all abuzz about this man, what he's claiming and what he's doing. His mighty acts of power and his healing and breaking all the laws. This breaks every law in the book, literally, when it comes to leprosy and laws of uncleanness. Breaking all the laws, he staggers up to Jesus. He drops to his knees and he begs for mercy. A leper came to him, verse 40, imploring him. And kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. And perhaps what's even more shocking than that is our Savior's response in verse 41. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. The holy, sinless Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, violated the ceremonial law. You can hear the gasp in the air from the Pharisees. What has he done? He touched a man with leprosy. And not only was a leper not allowed to touch a non-leper was not allowed to touch a leper. He reaches out and puts his hand on him. Who knows how long it had been before the man had even felt human contact. And Jesus reaches out, puts his hand on him. Doesn't care about the fuss this is going to cause later with the religious professionals. He doesn't care about the drama this is going to cause later with the religious authorities. He puts his hand on the man and touches him, and he himself becomes, Jesus himself becomes ceremonially unclean. The text says he was moved with pity, verse 41. Moved with pity or moved with compassion. The NIV translates it, he was indignant. It's a very interesting word. It means to be viscerally moved in the inner man. Viscerally moved. It's beyond sympathy. It's even beyond empathy. The idea is a gut-wrenching compassion. It's the kind of compassion that you feel in your stomach, in your gut, that moves you. You could even say he was moved with anger. Why was he angry? Why was he moved? Why did his stomach lurch? Why was he filled from the inside out with indignation? That's because of the ravages of a falling world. There's a passage in the Gospels when Jesus learns of the death of Lazarus. And there's a very similar word there. Jesus was shaken with anger about the death of Lazarus. Think about that. What Mark is telling us, and the gospel writers are telling us, is that Jesus hates disease. Jesus hates death. Jesus hates all of the fallout that comes from living in a world affected by the fall. This isn't how things are supposed to be. This isn't the way God created things to be. Disease, death, results of the fall. He's moved by that. He's shaken by that. He's angered by that. And here Mark presents him as the Lord of the ceremonial law, and with all authority, he sets it aside. This is very similar to his preaching in the synagogue. Remember, he unrolls the scroll of Isaiah, reads the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "In your presence, I fulfill this prophecy today." That's the same kind of thing going on here. "In your presence, I fulfill the ceremonial law today," and he reaches out, sets it aside, says it points to him, it's fulfilled in him, and he touches the man. And notice the power of Jesus, verse 42. He says, "I will be clean." It's the power of his word. "I will be clean. I am willing, be clean." And verse 42, "And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean." By a word, he fully heals one of the most dreaded diseases known in the ancient world, for which there was no known cure. Touches him, he speaks, he's healed. His fingers grow back, his toes grow back, his nose grows back. His hair grows back, his eyebrows grow back. He's whole, he's clean. This was the man that had to spend years announcing unclean, unclean, and now he can go and say, "Clean, clean, I'm clean." Well, Jesus gives him some instructions here. After he heals him, immediately the leprosy left him. He was made clean, and Jesus sternly charged him. That's a strong word. Sternly charged him and sent him away at once, verse 44, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone." Don't broadcast this through the countryside. Don't broadcast this. Again, we've already seen this in Mark. We'll continue to see this in Mark. Jesus is going to insist that he will be known in his perfect way and in his perfect timing and according to his perfect message. He's not going to be known by the demons. Remember in verse 34, he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. This isn't about getting people just to realize who he is. This isn't about getting people just to correctly identify who this man is. That's part of it. Remember, Jesus is calling for a response. Mark is calling for a response. He wants people to repent and to believe, to turn and to follow. This isn't about healing, primarily. This isn't about sensationalizing. Remember, that's why he had to leave Capernaum, because the people wanted miracle, miracle, miracle. They're following him as a miracle man. And he says, I'm not here to attract followers by my miracles. He's not interested in having followers on any other grounds other than repentance and faith. That's a good word to us. That's a good reminder to us. That's a good reminder to the church. Yeah, we have a real concern, I think, wired into us. And we get a lot of this from our culture. In the American church, there is a real concern to have followers on any grounds. We've got to get the numbers. That seems to kind of take priority. This corporate mindset to the church that we're going to measure success by the bottom line. Followers at any account. Followers on any grounds. Results, numbers, must impress. But then we look at Jesus, and what takes priority over numbers and followers and impressing people is a determination to help people have a saving faith in God through Jesus Christ. That's what the church's business is. That's what the message of Scripture is. That's what the message of Christ is. Preaching the gospel. It's good to be reminded to be careful not to fall into the numbers game. That's exactly what's going on here. Jesus says, don't go broadcast this. I don't want to be known as just the local miracle man. There's a much bigger thing going on here, a much bigger message going on here. He says, go to the priest. That's the other command he gives in verse 44. He's stern about this. He says he sternly tells him this. Verse 44, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them. The priests were the ones that declared that he's unclean. The priest must be the one who declares that he is now clean. And so he'll have to go through some special ceremonies, things are required by the ceremonial law of Moses. Then he'll be certified free of the disease, and then he'll be able to rejoin society, back to his family, back to work, back to home, back to the church, back to his workplace. There seems to be an idea here that Jesus is maybe at least implying that surely of all people, you get this irony here, for a proof to them, he says, surely of all people, the religious authorities, the priests, will see this as a miracle and they'll correctly interpret it that God is in our midst, that the kingdom is coming, that the kingdom is breaking in. Of course they don't, but they should. They're the men of Scripture. They should. Well, it sounds like a happy ending, and in a lot of ways it is. This is a wonderful story. The disease is healed, the pain is reversed, the man is restored. What a wonderful story. But, remember, Mark always full of unexpected twists and turns. But, we also read in the story that the leper ignores the command to say nothing to no one. He directly disobeys. Verse 45, but Jesus sternly told him, do not go share this. Go to the priest. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. Remember, his MO was to go into the towns, preach the word of God from the synagogue. Can't do that anymore. But was out in desolate places, confined to desolate places, had to stay outside of the city walls and let people come to him. From every quarter, he directly disobeys the command of Christ, and he tells everybody he can, and he ends up derailing Jesus' strategy, in God's providence, of course, but he ends up derailing Jesus' strategy and his primary mission to preach the word of God in the synagogues, and he seems to miss the point. I highly doubt the text, there's little reading into this, but I highly doubt, there's no sense from the text, that what this man is going out and telling people is, hey, God's kingdom has broken into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. Repent and believe in him. Especially the fact that he's disobeying Christ and what he does. I think what he is doing is going and telling people, there's a healer in town. Go check him out because he can do something for you. And that's not the kind of attention that Jesus is looking for. That everywhere he goes, everywhere Jesus goes, people are misunderstanding his mission. Remember, we made that clear earlier. Mark reveals to us right up front who Christ is. He is the Savior of the world. But people keep missing that. People keep missing that. They want the deliverer to be what they want the deliverer to be. They want the deliverer to be the one who's going to come drive the Romans out. They want the deliverer to be the divine food truck. They want the deliverer to be the divine health care plan. They want the deliverer to set up the divine geopolitical kingdom. They don't want the deliverer who comes to die on the cross and deliver them from their sins. And Jesus comes to us and says, that's the deliverer that I am. All the miracles, the healings, the exorcisms, they're signs. They're signs. They point to that. They authenticate the kingdom has arrived. But he doesn't want crowds to come simply for the sake of miracles. He doesn't want crowds to come simply for the sake of free fish. How many people today are coming to a Jesus expecting free fish? Miracles. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord that the leper was healed and restored to a normal life. But Jesus did not come promising to give people normal life. Jesus did not come promising to give people normal life. I've known a lot of Christians over the years. I know a lot of Christians. I don't remember one ever giving a testimony to me that when they came to know Jesus, their life became perfectly normal. Do you? He did not come promising to give people normal life. He came to give people eternal life. Now that he does promise. That's what the healings point to. You know, Jesus here touches an unclean man. He takes on his uncleanness so that the man can become clean. That's a picture. That's a picture of something much bigger going on. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus has come to do on a grand scale. It's just a little glimpse. It's just a little foretaste of what the new heavens and the new earth are going to be like, where there will be no pain, will be no disease. Everything will be normal, but not in this lifetime, not in the here and now. This is just a foretaste in the here and now of a sign that the kingdom is breaking in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And leprosy was a horrible diagnosis. It ruined normal life. It ruined life physically. It ruined life socially. It brought pain. It brought ugliness. And out of compassion, Jesus does pick some select people along the way and he heals them from that. But he says this is all a foretaste pointing ahead to the healing of a far greater worse than physical leprosy, a healing from something far, far worse than disease. And that's the disease of sin. The disease of sin. It's worse than leprosy. It ruins normal life. Sin destroys relationships. It ruins things physically. It ruins things socially. It brings pain. It brings ugliness. And under the curse of sin, this is the point of the passage. Under the curse of sin, we're all outcasts. Under the curse of sin, we're all cut off from the fellowship of God. Under the curse of sin, we are all bound to a curse that requires us to say, unclean, unclean. And here comes a Savior bringing the cure to the curse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, Paul says in Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. Christ came into the world, took on flesh, experienced a viscerally moving compassion for our spiritual leprosy, subjected himself to the cursed death of hanging on a tree, that he might take your sin upon him, that he might become a curse for you and die under the weight of it and bring you as a spiritual outcast into the eternal family of God. That's what the king does. Jesus, our king, becomes a curse for us, and he dies under the weight of sin, our sin, your sin, my sin, and he gives us eternal life. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Sin keeps us as outcasts to God. And Jesus says, come to me, I will be clean. Father in heaven, if you will, you can make me clean. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.